everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Hey folks, we're back for another, the second episode of Ask Kevin Almost Anything. This is our second one. I mean, the ideas that people have written in and reached out and said, you know, we got some questions that we're wondering. And so we look through and we decide what would be fun to respond to. And we'll see how this goes. I am joined now by the executive director of SixDegrees.org, Stacy Houston, who is awesome. And
I concur.
Yeah. And who's a little tired because she saw Madonna last night, but has decided to rally today and
rally.
Come. And join me here in Ask Kevin Almost Anything. Hi, Stace.
Hi. Yeah, if Madonna can do it, I can do it. I'm inspired, that's for sure.
Good idea. Good idea. She's something. I mean, yeah, she really is.
Talk about a show. It was incredible.
I don't think I've ever seen Madonna live. I think that it probably didn't quite line up with my age and I don't know. For some reason, that's a show that I never saw, but it must be incredible.
It was really incredible. It was a pretty diverse audience for sure. But I think that, yeah, she put on one hell of a show called the Celebration Tour. So it's kind of like all of her music throughout the year. So something for everyone, I think.
A lot of young people there.
Yeah, I think so. And not so young. I mean, she's 65.
Is she?
So,
wow.
Like,
my age, same age as me.
Yeah, yeah. But she was definitely, it was very theatrical. So I think similarly to a lot of the bigger pop stars of today, like she's still moving around that stage and telling a story and a lot of actual social impact stuff, right? A lot of things that she talked about through her music that she kind of highlighted with the stage design and the sets and those sorts of things, especially around like the LGBTQ community and the HIV crisis of the 80s, things like that. So it was powerful. It was really, really cool.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because when you really think about it, she was really, there is an element of pop, female pop stars who, have sort of empowered various sometimes unrecognized factions of their audience and given them a voice and support in ways. And I think she really was one of the first. I mean, followed certainly by Gaga and now, Taylor and Beyonce. And, it's like you go beyond just making the music and And even beyond just having the adoration of your fans, but you actually are trying to support people to, you know, kind of be who they are, you know, Harry Styles. And, you know, it's interesting. But Madonna was really sort of a, you know, a pioneer in that way. I think that, you know, in music, a lot of the early rock stars, the idea was that you were kind of trying to keep a distance. That was kind of part of what rock and roll was, that you were this sort of distant, you know, kind of persona, and not necessarily, you were more kind of speaking to people than speaking for people. So I think it's interesting that she's was early in that movement.
Yeah, and it definitely, I think, probably inspired those that came after her, right?
For sure, yeah.
To not squander that opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
And definitely not shy away from it, because she's bold now, but I can only imagine when she started, you know, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
that was like a moment, so.
Well, I first saw her in, what was that movie? I feel like maybe it was a Jonathan Demme movie. I'm trying to remember. She had a small part. What was it? But it was, you know, a lot of it was like her kind of singular style and look and her, you know, just she attitude. You know, she was kind of a badass. Anyway, this is the Madonna episode.
Yeah, she deserves her own episode. Thank you, Madonna, for letting us just riff on you for a little bit.
Well, let me read the first question. How's that?
Let's do it.
Since this is called Ask Kevin Almost Anything. This is from Krissa, and she says, "Hi, Kevin. I'm from Food Bank Victoria in Australia. Love what you do. Was wondering if you have any budget-type recipes that we can share with our folks. Just thought it could be a fun thing to do. Or if you have any other ideas. I know you help so many people already, but I thought it was worth asking. Cheers, Krissa." Okay, so when she's talking about budget-type recipes, I can tell you that one of our favorite things that we make when, you know, a lot of times we'll be thinking, well, what are we going to do tonight? What are we going to get? You know, Kira's very big on like finding new recipes. You know, she does searches and follows things. And I'm a little bit more, you know, just kind of improvisational. But, you know, it's usually we have some kind of big idea. And every once in a while we want to stay in, but we're out of big ideas. And we have a shorthand where we just go pantry. And she says, yes. And I say, pantry? Yeah. And it's really pantry pasta is what it is. So you generally have lying around at least a couple of cloves of garlic or an onion. Mm-hmm. And then that's always like the basis
always
for anything, right? Any thing that's worth eating. It starts with you know, some garlic or some onion. So you put that in the pan and you start to like saute that. And then you open up the pantry and you see what's in there. And so it could be a can of tomatoes. It could be a lot of ours is like a can of tomatoes. We open up a can of tuna. We throw in some, you know, whatever kind of herbs you have lying around, even if they're dried, you know, some regular. And basically, you just make a sauce, add a little bit of wine. Something has to be, you know, make it liquid enough. And then you make some pasta and you put it on. And that's pantry pasta. We've oftentimes have, a lot of people have some capers lying around, some olives lying around, some, you know, I mean, it sounds like I'm just making something from garbage, but it really is these are all things that we'll keep forever.
Yeah.
And that's what we do, pantry pasta.
So this kind of reminds me of this woman that I met recently and feeling pretty bad right now that her name is escaping me, but she has an Instagram page. And she, I don't know if she's coined this, but she does this thing called shelf-tember, where it's like in September, she challenges everybody to only use $50 a week for groceries. I think she has a pretty large family. I think she has like 6 or 7 kids, something like that. So I think this might help Krista's community as well, you know. And they are challenged to use only what's in the pantry on their shelves for this whole month. And then they can buy, like, you know, chicken or some of those additive type things to round out a meal with the $50. And it's a way that they save up for the holidays that are quickly approaching, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're going to eat in, we're going to just clear out our pantry. Because like you said, I mean, have you ever gone, I mean, this was my experience. I'd go to my mom's house and I would go into her pantry and I would see something from like 2004. And I'm like, and I'd be like your boy, it's like a can of olives. And you're like, hey, I'm pretty sure this is expired. And she's like, it's fine. I'm like, no, like, I don't think you should eat this. Like, there has to be some reason why we can't just keep things forever, you know? But
can't you eat a 2004 jar of olives? I don't know. I think I probably would. I'm embarrassed to say I don't really check the labels that often. Although my mother, first off, she wasn't a good cook. Nobody likes to say that about their mother. Everyone says my mother was a bit, but my mother was a terrible cook. I mean, let's face it. She had 6 kids.
Yeah.
And she was kind of often doing what it is that talking about, just kind of, you know, finding some stuff and whipping something up. I mean, I think that we're a lot better at making it taste good.
Yeah, but she wasn't as good at improvising as what you're saying.
No, and she would take things and she didn't believe, she's very much ahead of her time in terms of this, but she didn't believe in like single use plastic. And so she would just take food and just put it in a bowl and just stick it in the refrigerator. And sometimes it would sit there for a couple of weeks. And that's the stuff that I was like, not going near. When it came to something that was actually vacuumed, packed or sealed, I'm okay with it. And you know, I'll tell you something interesting in terms of, like, as we know, fresh food often goes hand in, often people who have food insecurity, it becomes very hard for them to find fresh food. There aren't places that actually have, you know, fresh produce.
They're in food deserts often.
Food deserts, but one thing that is true, and I'm not a nutritionist, but I can tell you that I recently read an article which was written by, you know, smarter people than me, scientists, saying these are the things that we wish people would stop believing in terms of food nutrition. And one of them was that canned fruits and vegetables are nutritional. They you can have a frozen or canned or frozen fruits and vegetables. If they contain a whole ton of sugar, like that's added, then possibly that's, you know, you're going to have to kind of keep an eye on that. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about a can of peas or a bag of spinach that's been frozen, you don't lose any nutritional value from vegetables when they're frozen or canned, apparently. And in some cases, they actually have more vitamins and minerals than they do if you cook them down and cook them fresh. So when I learned that, I said, well, that's interesting, because it means that if there are things that are on shelves, that people can get, you know, some good nutritional value from those fruits and vegetables. Anyway, good question.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
All right. Question number two. You want to read it, Kev?
Okay. This is from Rebecca Graham. Kevin, you and your wonderful family are so special. A question for you. Would you do Footloose 2? Footloose 2 has been done.
Has it, though? I thought it was like a remake. You know, like...
Well, what's your idea? I mean...
I feel like Footloose 2 would be like a sequel. Like, you are now John Lithgow.
And I'm, you know, and I'm banning like, dancing?
Not you're banning dancing, but, you know, like, you're older, you've raised your own kids.
Well, definitely older.
Your kids are in high school, right? Like, I feel like that's the sequel, right? Like, it's your son, right?
Listen, never say never. I think it would be a disaster. It's funny because they made countless Friday the 13th. You know, and I was in the very first Friday the 13th. Then they remade Footloose. Then they remade Flatliners. And then I decided that they're just remaking all the movies that I was in that begin with F. So if I do another movie that begins with F, they'll probably remake it. I don't know. You know,
A Few Good Men? Let's not.
A Few Good Men. Remake. There you go. There you go. Well, that actually, they're doing that too.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
That just makes me angry. Just leave well enough alone. No, seriously. I have a couple things like Dirty Dancing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, especially in my generation, that is like a classic. You watch it. I watched it to death. I watched it so many times. I could quote most lines from that movie. They remade it, right? They did a kind of part two of Dirty Dancing Havana Nights or something like
that.
Oh,
yeah. Right.
No offense to whoever was in it. But no, it was not. Just leave them alone. If they ever try to remake Breakfast Club, I will start a petition. Like,
wow. Is that one of your favorites? I didn't know that.
That's my yearbook quote was, you know, that closing line of the movie.
No, I don't.
Each of us are a princess, a brainiac, a, you know, a criminal and an outcast or something like that. Someone that loves that movie is actually really angry with me right now. They're like, you don't love that movie. This is the quote. But it shouldn't be remade. But I feel like those are the types of movies that are, yeah, like on the chopping block. Someone's going to try to remake it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a funny thing with remakes because I kind of agree with you. There is something about let's just leave well enough alone, unless there's really a really kind of fresh idea. But the other piece of it is that in our business, everyone wants intellectual property and wants to, you know, revisit intellectual property. That being said, you know, I'm in Beverly Hills Cop 4, and I think that's actually going to be a really fun movie. I think it, and Top Gun, you know, when they redid Top Gun recently, you know, or I mean... So anyway, I don't know what the story would be. for Footloose, it would have to, you know, actually, they actually offered me a part in the second Footloose, you know, in the remake of Footloose. Yeah. It was terrible. The part was, and I was like, why would I be in this playing? It doesn't make any sense. Like, it just doesn't make any sense here. Mm-hmm. I'm not really understanding. So anyway, I said, no, they didn't miss me. Actually, I thought the dancing was incredible in that movie. The second one was in a lot of ways a lot better than what we did. But anyway, thanks for that question. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. So we have a really special next question, actually. I received a note from Sharon Sawyer, and Sharon was writing in about her niece and her niece, Kelsey, who we'll hear about it because we have some audio clips to play. But in short, Kelsey has had has gone through some pretty hard circumstances, right? So she lost her brother to cancer when she was a kid and he was a kid. And then in her early 20s, she lost her mother. And she was one of these people who basically stared at grief and decided to use it to fuel her to create pretty incredible impact through starting a nonprofit. And so I read this note that we had submitted, and I just thought, I need to call Sharon. I want to talk to her. I want to, hear her voice and hear her talk about Kelsey, and then following up with Kelsey as well. So I want to share a clip from that conversation with Sharon Sawyer, where she really talks about her niece Kelsey's story and what she's done over the last few years. So we're going to play that clip now.
My niece Kelsey took tragedy, a lot of tragedy in her life, and turned it into something really, really good. Kelsey and her brother went to camp when they were children. And when they went to camp, he was 11 and she was 13. And it was a pediatric cancer camp that is held locally. It was what everyone came to say, her brother Cole's best week of his life. And she loved it there too, because they had siblings of children with cancer there as well. And it was just a place you could be yourself and you could be around other people that had cancer. And her mother, Stacy, was very, very involved with this camp after Cole passed away. And Stacy became president of the local foundation that runs this camp and just had a huge passion for it. Kelsey, as well as my children and a lot of people in our family, all worked at this camp retreat, every year when it would come. But the biggest need they had was a facility or a place that they could hold it that was safe, that was like ADA approved, close to the local hospital. There was not a facility or a place to do this locally. And so they were taking children to the upstate, and it was just a long distance if someone happened to get sick, the week of the thing. So but Kelsey and all, my Kelsey became just very passionate, as every counselor for Camp Chemo ends up getting for the children. And that's where that's kind of what drove her to try to help build this retreat center that her mother dreamed of years ago after her mother had passed away. When her mother passed away, they immediately, it was very suddenly, when her mother passed away, they immediately started a foundation named after Kelsey and, named after Cole and Stacy. And then with the idea that they would possibly donate it to a camp or build a camp. And the next thing you know, they were flying with it, and Kelsey and others in the community decided to support this idea and build Camp Cole.
And how much did they end up raising to build Camp Cole?
The initial capital campaign was $9 million, and they achieved that in under 2 years. When you're starting from grassroots and nothing, it takes a lot to get to that place. And there's a local family that was just very instrumental in this. They bought, the Fawcett family bought the land that was donated to Camp Cole, which is 40 acres. And they donated it to Camp Cole and they bought it for this purpose. Their daughter too was a counselor at Camp Chemo and understood what it meant for these children to be at camp for a week. And so, you know, it started rolling from there. Those were friends of the family and friends that Kelsey and her dad Scott knew, and they believed in the dream and helped them along the way to get it rolling on.
You know, Kevin, when you first started Six Degrees, did you ever think about like how difficult that fundraising piece is? Because like when I hear that $9 million, that is a ton to raise in 2 years.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's that is a lot of money. Yeah, and it's something that I still kind of struggle with a little bit. Obviously, if you're doing well, you're going to be on the other end of people asking for money, you know, a lot. And I think that what people do with their money and how much of it they give away or don't, you know, it's a very private, very personal kind of decision. I mean, I think that, sometimes, when people, I'm sure there's people that like this family that go out and just say, okay, I'm just going to buy this, 40 acres for these people. And they probably do it quietly and aren't really, looking for a big pat on the back. And then there's people that publicly, will donate, you'll hear about it, donate millions of dollars to something. And I think those are both really, really super valid ways in order to spend your money or donate. I don't pass a judgment on either one of those things, either saying privately or being public about it. But I do know that it's not in my nature to ask people for money. It's just, for some reason, it's not. I've always found it a little bit uncomfortable. We've talked about the fact that, I never really wanted to do sort of typical fundraisers, rubber chicken dinners and, auctions and that whole way of, working with charity. But that's just the way it, there's no way around it. So to answer your question, I didn't know how difficult it was going to be. But I did know that it was going to be something that I was not going to, feel all that, comfortable with. In my situation, also, there's this other piece of it. I think which is people can look at something like asking for a donation and say, well, why don't you just, why don't you just pay for it? But I think this is impressive that in that amount of time that they're now, where is this camp, by the way?
It's in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Cool. And it's incredible. And she touched on a couple of things in there that I think were really powerful. And it actually ties back to your point that you just made. I think sometimes when there's a celebrity that's like a founder of an organization, it can be even more difficult because of that very reason. People are like, well, why don't you just like solve world hunger yourself? Right.
Yeah.
But the key that makes, I think, Kelsey's organization, Camp Cole, and Sharon's story so powerful is that all these people were touched by the work of Camp Chemo, which was this earlier camp that they experienced as kids. And they were so touched by it because they saw the way it impacted their loved ones and their niece and nephew that attended it. And then family members got engaged and other community members got engaged. And I think that that's the key. It's like if there was just one source of throw money at it, it actually doesn't do anything, right? You actually need people to be inspired, to have skin in the game and to roll up their sleeves and want to stand like shoulder to shoulder with you on this work.
Right.
Because it's not just money to build something, like to operate something like this, which they'll get into. It's an immense undertaking. And I just think it's so incredible to think that, especially a young woman, that was, you know, facing that type of heartache was able to turn that into something so inspiring.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Take a pause from your to-do list with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
I want to play a little bit more from my conversation with Kelsey, because I got a chance to reach out to Kelsey, who is a doll, just as Sharon raved about her niece, just so, so, so kind. And she shared a little bit about, you know, who she is and who Camp Cole was named after and, you know, why she started it. So let's play that clip now.
My name is Kelsey Sawyer Cole, and Camp Cole is a camp for children, teens, and adults with illnesses, disabilities, and life challenges. Camp Cole really started and was birthed out of a place of pure love, joy, and excitement. So Camp Cole really came about because at the age of 11, and I was 13 at the time, I had a younger brother who was diagnosed with a really rare form of cancer, rhabdomyosarcoma. And so with that diagnosis, we really saw our normalcy in our daily lives kind of be flipped upside down. And so for us, you know, days were packed in the hospital. Cole had multiple shots in the evening times. He was pretty ill a good bit. I watched his entire kind of physical stature shift and change. And so it was just really difficult for my family and I to kind of navigate this new sense of life in the way that it looked. Fortunately for us, we were introduced to a camp program that provides the camp experience for children who have cancer and their siblings. And so that's really where Cole and I were able to be with other people who understood what it was like to be walking in the shoes that we were walking in. For Cole to be able to open up the doors and see other kids with bald heads and other kids with ports, and to have discussions over chemotherapy treatment and oral medication, and to talk about the realities in a safe space for us, it was just something I'll never forget. And then selfishly for me to be around other siblings who knew what it was like for mom and dad not to be able to make soccer practice or not be there to pick you up after school. It was just this community that could feel the way that we felt. A lot of times we found this in intense sense of empathy at a time where our community was so incredible to us, but they showed us so much sympathy. And so for us, it was a home. It created these memories. It created these experiences at a time where I felt like cancer took so much from us. It took my family away from me. It took Cole being able to participate in soccer and skateboarding and swimming and surfing. But camp for us, it gave us something. It gave us friendships. It gave us so much more. And so we came back after that week-long overnight camp and would not be quiet. So Cole and I talked about it nonstop. And that's really where my family saw the benefit that camp can make in a child's life. So my whole family got really involved. Unfortunately, about 4 months after that camp experience, Cole passed away. But for us, once again, we were surrounded by this community, this group, this family who knew what it was like to be walking in the shoes that we were walking in. And so that for us made just an incredible impact in our lives. Those counselors, those other campers are still my best friends. We're still in my wedding. We're there for my child's first birthday. So it's just been incredible to see the way that lifelong friendships can really be birthed out of some pretty intense obstacles that we have to go overcome.
Wow, that is some story. Talk about taking something so painful and so difficult to even bear and, you know, turning it into something just kind of beautiful. And, you know, the thing that I'm struck with, and we talk about this a lot with sixdegrees.org, are these kind of grassroots movements, because, and I'm not, you know, saying this is not also, this would also be something great to do, but you could also have found, you know, an organization, pediatric cancer research or whatever it is, and started to do, you know, fundraising in your own community. But in this case, you know, she took something that was so important and so experiential to her and really, really personal and built something that is really, really super personal, you know, to her. And that's what was really kind of so impressive about this.
Yeah, I think that a lot of what she talked about was connection, which we often talk about at Six Degrees as well, and that need that we all have for human connection.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're in that like kind of coming of age time period of your life, especially like 11, 12, 13 years old, a week at camp can feel like one of the most life-changing things that you've experienced to date, right? You're away from your parents, you have some autonomy, you're with your peers, you are learning to kind of navigate in the world without that adult in your life being there telling you, you know,
nature.
Yeah,
sometimes it's your first exposure to nature, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, a lot of friendships are formed that way. Because they're experiencing that together. So, I think what they're doing is incredible. The other thing that this camp does really well is how they structure their camps so that kids that have similar lived experience or similar disabilities are actually at camp at the same time. So that they're around more children that they have like this very unique experience with, right? Creating just more belonging.
Camp Cole is actually located in Columbia, South Carolina. So we love our location. It's able to serve thousands of children that really range from a very wide variety of different critical illnesses and disabilities. So we get the opportunity, and I say we have the privilege to serve campers who have rare genetic disorders, heart and kidney disease, children experiencing homelessness, children who've experienced severe burns, So it is very incredible to be able to see the diversity that we have the opportunity to give those transformative experiences that spark the joy out here at camp. And so we really, at the nucleus of Camp Cole, we're really focused on providing an experience that otherwise would not exist for these populations. And so for us, being able to give a child with a very severe critical illness an opportunity to catch a fish or to play basketball or to get on the back of a horse, to hold a chicken, these are all little things that I feel like so much so we are so blessed with a good, clean health. And so when something like this happens in your family or to a loved one, you're really challenged to think about, wait a minute, you know, health is so important to us, and being healthy and living healthy, active lifestyles. And so for us, Cole was very active, loved being outdoors, loved team building activities, and loved his peers and being social. And that was something that with the critical illness, all those things for us, it became a lot harder. And so I really think back to being at a young age, at the age of 13, and when Cole was 11, just really seeing the little things in life that we take for granted, and how do you remember and show great gratitude and appreciation for them.
That's beautiful. I mean, it's interesting because, again, this is an example of someone that is taking something super personal, like a super personal experience, and even taking the details of that experience and shaping the foundation, the movement, the idea around those very, very specific personal ideas. And you know, it is true that, I mean, camp experiences, not everybody has the luxury of having them, but can be, you know, very profound, even as you pointed out, Stacey, in a week. And I'm sure that there's also a lot of great impact for the families surrounding the people that are the kids that are going, and you know, not just the kids, but the families that get a chance to witness that or experience that or be able to offer some kind of respite from what must be a really very challenging and difficult time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It had me reflecting a lot in my conversation with Kelsey about what we take for granted all the time. When you have a kind of quote unquote clean bill of health, and you know, I've talked about this a little bit before, but my mom was legally blind, and she was in a car accident when I was 8, and so it was, you know, this kind of acute accident. And then when she came out of the hospital, everything changed about, you know, she couldn't, you know, be a nurse anymore. And she wasn't able just to jump in a car and drive to the beach if she wanted to drive in the beach. I mean, little things like, you know, being able to catch something on your periphery, right? And being like, oh, there's a dolphin over there. Did you see that just jump? It's like, there's no way she was ever going to see things like that again. And I think although she wasn't a sibling, as a daughter, it had a similar impact when you are growing up having to be more aware of this person and create more space for them and their needs. And it can be a lot, but it also can really help shape you and make you passionate about, you know, equal access and accessibility and inclusion for those that are disabled and are, you know, do have ailments that we don't talk about a lot in society. And so, yeah, it sounds like a really beautiful space, Camp Cole. And I can only imagine that these kids are, and their siblings are having some of the best times of their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's. I'm so glad you reached out to them.
Yeah, it was. just tell you, it was a hard call. I was like, I could not do this all the time. It was very emotional, right? Mm-hmm. And I think,
well, you have kids of your own now. I mean, yeah. You know, that's when the this kind of thing really starts to hit you.
Absolutely. And I've had friends that have lost their children as well from pediatric cancer.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I think about Abigail and Eloise, and I think about what you would do as a parent. But such an inspiring story, and we're going to make sure that people know exactly where they can learn and help Camp Cole and Kelsey's work further with a great call to action.
Our call to action for Camp Cole would be for people to get involved, be a part of our team, follow us on social media, Camp Cole, at Camp Cole, South Carolina. Our website is campcole.org. It is not inexpensive to send these campers to camp. While they're out here, we don't get to just say, wait a minute, let's stop treatment for a week. Let's stop your medical treatment plan for a week. We have to do, we rock on even at camp. So we're really quickly administering the medication and getting them back out to having fun. And so that cost is something that prohibits some of our campers to have this experience. So financial donations mean such a great deal to us. We're big on Amazon wish list and getting those, you know, the Band-Aids, the bug spray, all the fun different sports balls out here to Camp Cole. So those are all different ways that you can really help and be a part of our team.
Stacey, like I said, I'm so happy that you reached out to Kelsey and Sharon. And Kelsey and Sharon, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and telling us about the camp. It's incredible what you guys are doing there, and you should be very proud of this work. And as everybody heard, there's ways that you can help. There's ways that you can reach out and things that you can do. I could tell you, let me just tell you a funny camp story. Well, you can decide if it's funny or not. When I was in camp, but it has to do with things of a charitable nature. When I was in camp, every year at this camp, they would do this thing called the fund, and campers would either pick blueberries or strawberries. It was kind of like a work camp, or they would forego a meal. They would do different things that would raise money for a specific fund that the money that these campers, either from giving up or from working, were going to donate each year. And then campers would pick a particular fund and do a little research on it to the extent that you could. I don't even know how you could research something when we were out there. There was no computers, obviously. We're talking about the, probably late 60s, early 70s. And then they would make a presentation for this fund to the camp body. And everybody in the camp would vote. And then the winner of that vote would get the money that the campers raised that year. So the year that I was there, and let me just say, generally it was, you know, Save the Whales, Save the Redwoods, UNICEF, you know, charities like that. I decided that we should raise money for the Black Panthers. And so I stood up in front of the camp body. Because at that time, you know, the Panthers were doing, you know, they had this breakfast program that was, you know, very popular. They were doing a lot of, you know, stuff. And I stood up in front of the camp body and I said, okay, folks, this is why I think that the money should go to the Black Panthers. And we won the vote.
Yes.
But here's the hilarious thing. And this taught me a lot about the world. All of a sudden, the people that ran the camp just freaked out. They were like, we can't give the money to the Black Panthers. I said, you have to. We won the vote. And it went back and forth. It was this big argument. They had no problem with me presenting it. But once it actually won, all of a sudden they went, whoa, 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 this can't happen. And so the compromise, which I was very unhappy with, but, you know, what was I going to do? I was 11 years old. Was that the money would be divided between the four charities that were presented. So in the summer of whatever this was, 1971 or since 1970, there was probably a check for about $12.35 that presumably came from Camp Treetops to the Black Panthers.
I love it.
Well, there you go. That's my camp story. And listen, thanks for checking this out. See you next time. Hey, send us some questions, and we will hopefully respond to Ask Kevin almost anything. Thanks, Stace.
Thanks.
If you are inspired by today's episode, please join us in supporting 6degrees.org by texting the word BACON to 707070. Your gift empowers us to continue to produce programs that highlight the incredible work of everyday heroes, while also enabling us to provide essential resources to those that need it the most. Once again, text BACON to 707070 or visit 6degrees.org to learn more.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Take a pause from your to-do list with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.